Alan Back isn't a simple amnesia story, but rather it's about a man fighting to reclaim his very existence against an active and malicious adversary. There are times when the good sheriff doesn't know when to leave well enough alone. And this is one of those times. I was made aware of the current horrifying problem that involves murdered and missing indigenous women when I came up with the idea for Daughter of the Morning Star. I knew there had to be a backstory that would provide an underpinning to the more mystical aspects of the tale, and remembered that a few years ago I was talking to Venerable Cheyenne Elder Leroy Whiteman about the Aviette's Hill Miss, a taker of children, something of a boogeyman to keep the young ones from wandering off too far. I asked him where a being like that could originate. And not so oddly, he told me that in his long life, he had actually given it some thought. His theory was that the wandering without was a conglomeration of all the lost souls that had been banished from the tribes over the centuries. The murderous and the insane, the ones that had been driven out into the wilderness to die alone. His belief was that there was and always had been something out there waiting to take these souls that no one else wanted, and that they had banded together to satisfy a hunger for companionship. Where would the perfect feeding ground for a creature like the Evoetse Homes possibly be? A storage place for the tender young souls it finds so irresistible. Of the items on the long list of incredible wrongs that have been implemented against the native peoples, the boarding schools that separated children from their families, cut their hair, forbade them from speaking their native language, and a million other atrocities must be forefront. With the discovery of unmarked gravesites scattered across the West, the true horror of these places and their genocide is only now becoming known. These were children. This book is different, and even though this isn't the first time I've said that a novel goes out there in the topography of loss where Walt's been for the last 17 years, it's never been at this depth. Memory is the fuel of haunting, and the complexity of that is that sometimes the unadorned and unvarnished truth becomes camouflaged and sugar-coated by nostalgia in the hostile world I've attempted to create. A Western gothic romance with tinges of horror. The Northern Cheyenne have a saying that you judge a man by the strength of his enemies. I couldn't think of a better statement about Walt Longmire, whose humor and absolute conviction make him truly formidable. But what if the souls he's dispatched are out there, somewhere in a ghost town, waiting for him? Right off the bat, I must thank Leroy Whiteman, who passed away this past year. His insight into the culture and history of the Cheyenne people will be sorely missed. Another person to thank would be my best buddy, Marcus Red Thunder, the model for Henry. My good friend has had a rough year, but he never lost a step. That's a true man. Herman Mahler, the head archivist for the Absaroka County Sheriff's Department, came through for me, and David Nickerson, my on-call medico, checked me out on that front. You can't have a haunted house or haunted boarding school without occupying it with entities, and Helen Beck is no different. First off is that phantom of Times Square, Gail Hawkman, and her 26th-floor specter, Marianne Mirola. Then the spirit of copy editing, Eric Vector, and the shadow that goes forth, Francesca Drago. The apparition that haunts Broadway, Brian Tart, and his poltergeist pal, Margot Weissman. No book tour is possible without the ghost of Route 66, Ben Petrone, and his resident visitant, Belle Banta, and Rafe, Mary Stone. And to my very own Maheono, Judy, who haunts my dreams. Chapter 1. There was the sound of bells, and then the silence. The kind of quiet that only comes with snow, capturing the sound waves of life and smothering them before they can cry out. I couldn't open my eyes, like something was weighing them down, so I brought my hand up to my face and brushed the snow away.